as to whether we believe it's consistent with the master plan.
Sure. So I will read the title into the record for everybody. It is an ordinance amending Chapter 35, Land Use, Article 5, Zoning District Regulations of the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Millstone, County of Monmouth, and State of New Jersey to add new Section 517 accessory apartments. And I'm apologizing because I realize that I just read the old ordinance that you guys adopted earlier this year. So please strike that and let me try again. This one is called an ordinance amending Chapter 35, Land Use, Article 5, Zoning District Regulations, Accessory Apartments, Section 5-17E.4 of the Revised General Ordinances of the Township of Millstone, County of Monmouth, and State of New Jersey to provide that all accessory apartments shall be affordable to very low income households. So this ordinance is a revision and amendment to the ordinance 20-02 that was adopted earlier this year, and the name that I read first by accident. So what this ordinance does is it amends one paragraph in the accessory apartment ordinance to require that any accessory apartments, should they be built, must be available to only low-income, qualified low-income households. So what that means is a household at 30% of the regional median income. Previously, it was open to all low-income households, anybody under the median income, but there is a requirement in the, there's a state requirement that 13% of all affordable units created have to be available to that very low-income category. And we thought that we had previously met that 13% requirement, but we found out after the accessory apartment ordinance was adopted that most of the group homes in Millstone actually are not restricted to that very low income category. We previously thought that they were. So we needed to make up for that quote unquote loss of very low income, what we thought were very low income units, but were actually in the low and moderate income categories. So should someone want to take advantage of this program, the household would be available to a very low income family or household. It's usually just one single individual person who takes advantage of this program. And that allows the township to meet its 13% quota for very low income. So that's what this is doing. That's the one, again, only the one paragraph that talks about income is being amended. And it's absolutely consistent with the housing plan that this planning board adopted, previously adopted this year, as that housing plan recommends the adoption of this very ordinance. All we're doing is clarifying it to ensure that we meet the 13%, which I'll add is also in conformance with the housing plan, since the housing plan states that the township will meet that 13% income category.
Okay, so thank you, McKinley. So this isn't adding any new properties to our affordable housing plan.
Absolutely not.
Just clarifying and making us consistent with the law.
Correct, it's not adding any new units.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, anyone have any questions or observations for McKinley on this? Seeing none, so McKinley, it's your recommendation that this is consistent with our master plan. Right?
It is.
Okay, yes. Thank you. So at this point, we'd look for a motion to, unless there's any other comments, to confirm that this proposed ordinance is consistent with our master plan so that can be communicated to our governing body. So
I would like to say, in relation to being consistent with our master plan, I can't see how that sentence is true, because this was never part of our master plan.
It was so, part of the housing element, which is a component of your master plan.
So as a result of adopting that component, we, in theory, this is consistent with that, but that's a subset of it that wasn't described when we adopted it. So it's hard to say that I still don't see that it is consistent. I don't want to get stuck on a technicality for the sake of this. I'm sure we're going to vote yes for it, but I just don't agree with that statement.
Well, I'll just add that it is consistent with the housing plan, because this was in the housing plan, and the master plan update that took place in 2017 discusses conforming with the state obligation that's assigned to Millstone.
It's blanketed into the program. Therefore, it's acceptable or part of our master plan because we've accepted the program, but we've changed what we've accepted. And I think that should be part of the record as well.
But it's okay. I understand what you're saying. You are focusing on a technicality. It's consistent with the master plan because it's consistent with an element of the master plan.
Correct. But it wasn't part of the element that we agreed to. If it was just added now, we were unaware of this.
It was a part of the plan that you adopted. The accessory apartment program was part of that plan. Okay. And the...
I remember that. Yeah. Yes. But I didn't know this was a component of it, right? As you had said, we were unaware of that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Again, just move forward.
Okay, so we have on the table is my ask if one of the board members would like to make the motion to find this consistent with our master plan, understanding the concern that Chris raised.
I'll make the motion to find it consistent with our master plan.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, thank you. Any comments or other conversation on this? Nancy, you're muted.
Yeah, right.
No wonder you can't hear me. I've been talking. What happened is it was actually in our second round COA plan as well. These are the apartments that are attached to farms as labor housing. That's really what these places are. So when we talk about having 10 units, they're the homes that are like on the large nursery farms that we have, on the horse farms that we have, the one-room accessory apartments. What they are.
We found, Nancy, for example, on Perrineville Road at the old D'Amico house, there's quite a few people living in trailers in somewhat of a destitute situation. There's nobody from zoning coming in enforcing what's going on at that property. So I'm finding it hard to believe that our town is going to be capable of enforcing that. We see a violation of it today before it's anywhere else, right? We know we can't handle it.
First of all, you're wrong. Because number one, the RV that's there is the previous owner that owned that place.
There's three there now. There's three there tonight.
I'm telling you that it's the previous owner because he's contacted me and talked to me about that. All right. He actually sold that place to the new guy that took over. Yes, there are zoning violations that are there. I know the guy's name. I'm not going to talk about it on TV here. But what happened was he bought that RV. He's supposed to get it off of there. And what happened was, he is there for a short period of time until he finds a place to move to with his horses. So that is not part of a housing thing. He sold the property to a new person within the last 2 months. That deal was done. So he's no longer the owner. He should not be there, and he's in the process of moving.
Okay, so that makes it okay that he's in the process?
No, I'm not saying that. But that has nothing to do with this. That is not an accessory apartment.
Okay.
That's a zoning issue. That's a problem with the township. That is not an accessory apartment and doesn't fit into this.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with this.
All right.
He's not labor housing.
What is he doing? Just living there?
Do you want me to give his life history up on the phone? You want to call me up and I can give you an hour and a half about his life history?
I don't.
Thank you for the offer, Nancy. We're good.
Yes, I'm very generous.
We have a motion and a second, and we've concluded our discussion. Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Vice Chairman Pepe. Big Mr. Zahn. Okay. Ms. Oxley?
Yes.
Mr. Beck?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabalia?
Yes.
Chairman Newman?
Yes.
Mr. Ziner?
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. Next on our agenda is application P20-05.
Oh, I need to let our people in. Mr. Morris, can you let our people in? Can he hear me?
I can, but
okay.
I also need to mention that I am not the host.
Oh, darn it. So it's me. But you can bring, may I ask you a question? Are you allowed, can you bring up our evidence when the time comes?
I can. I can share screens because I did test that earlier. But
okay, thank you for very some much. Reason. We will work on this. We did it so well yesterday. I do not know what happened today. Okay, so let me just start admitting our people. Then we have a person from the audience, which we can admit. Okay.
All right, so the applicant is admitted, Pam?
Yes, it's Mr. Licata, and he is the attorney for the applicant.
All right, Mr. Licata, well, we're going to do our best to do this in as much organization as we can. So I'd like to turn it over to you to introduce yourself and your team. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before you do that, Mike Stive here. I think we should just fully announce the application as shown in the agenda. This is application 20-05 of 33 Associates Riverside Center, Block 18, Lot 2.03. It's located on Old Route 33 and Farrington Boulevard, consists of 14.93 acres located in the PCD zone. The applicant received preliminary major site plan approval. The applicant is now returning for amended final site plan approval to develop an office warehouse consisting of 100,240 square feet. No new variance being requested. I have reviewed the service that was submitted in connection with this application. Service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the application, and I'm aware of a number of exhibits that have received in connection with the application. If I may, I'll just read through those exhibits at this point. They include Exhibit A1, which is the jurisdictional packet, Exhibit A2, which is the application dated May 17, 2020. Exhibit A3 is a final major site plan prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated May 10, 2006, revised through May 8, 2020. Exhibit A4 is an auto turn analysis plan prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated May 10, 2006, revised June 18, 2010. Exhibit A5 are architectural drawings prepared by S. Grand Wittick. They're dated August 21, 2018, revised May 8, 2020, consisting of two pages. Exhibit A6 is a manual for operation and maintenance of stormwater management. That's prepared by Crest Engineering. May 8, 2020. Exhibit A7 is a 500-foot aerial prepared by Crest Engineering. That's in May 10, 2006, revised May 2010. Exhibit A8 is a resolution compliance letter prepared by Crest Engineering. That's dated May 13, 2020. Exhibit A9 are color samples of the proposed building materials. Exhibit A10 is a color rendering of the west elevation prepared by Karen Taylor Architectural Renderings, LLC. Exhibit A11 is a color rendering of the east elevation prepared by Karen Taylor Architectural Renderings, LLC. Exhibit A12 is a color rendering or art color rendering elevations prepared by Karen Taylor, Architectural Renderings, LLC. A13 is a color rendering of floor plan prepared by Karen Taylor, Architectural Renderings, LLC. A14 is a color rendering of the north elevation prepared by Karen Taylor, Architectural Renderings, LLC. A15 is a color rendering of site plan prepared by Karen Taylor, Architectural Renderings, LLC. And A16 is a rendering of the south elevation prepared by Karen Taylor Architectural Renderings, LLC. We also have exhibits for the board, which include Exhibit PB1, which is a report from your board engineer, Matt Shafai, dated June 3, 2020. Exhibit PB2 is a report from your board planner, McKinley Mertz, that's dated June 5, 2020. And Exhibit PB3 is prior resolution granting preliminary major site plan approval dated February 13, 2020. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far that have been submitted in connection with the application.
Okay, Mr. Licata, are you in agreement with that exhibit list?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, then please proceed.
Just a quick note, Mitch.
PB3 is not on the website from what I can tell.
No, PB3.
There is not. I'm on it currently as well, and it stops at PB2.
Sorry about that.
Okay, PB3 is the prior resolution?
That's correct.
Is that right? Okay.
It's actually on there. It's number one. I don't know if that was just added now, but I do see PB3 on there. It's just all the way at the top instead of right under.
Okay. I see it now. Thank you.
I do need to tell you that Mr. Morris will go ahead and bring up any evidence that Mr. Licata and his team would like to bring up when they're making reference to something. He can bring that up for us to view on the screen.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, professionals and staff. Good evening. Peter Licata of the law firm of Sonneblick Parker and Selvers on behalf of the applicant. We appreciate you accommodating us on your agenda this evening. I concur with Mr. Stibes' introduction of the application. Here with me tonight, we have our project engineer, Lorelei Totten, who is also a professional planner and who will testify in both capacities. We have our licensed landscape architect, Rick Wiener, who will testify. We have a registered architect, Rick Perez, who will testify on our behalf tonight. And also alongside with me, in case their testimony becomes necessary to answer a question, although I don't intend on presenting them directly, we have Jay Troutman, our traffic consultant, and the owner, Christopher Kempfer. With that introduction, if it pleases the chair, I would ask to call Ms. Totten to be sworn in.
Okay, Mike.
Ms. Totten, if you would raise your right hand, please be sworn in. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Can I state my name? I'm here, yes, sir. I apologize.
Lorelei Totten, trust engineer in Millstone Township, New Jersey.
I'm hearing feedback. I'm not sure why.
I'm getting feedback too.
Somebody has to turn off the audio.
Okay.
Now, same thing.
Now?
No.
I would suggest that anyone...
There's an echo that just repeats itself.
Okay.
He's muted. So then Mr. Licata and Ms. Totten.
That's my microphone. Okay. I'm not sure how we're going to do this.
I think these two are on. Forget the echo from here to here.
Yeah.
Lorelei,
Peter is going to mute his.
Lorelei, you may want to move your microphone away from your speaker.
That's better. Okay. I'm going to provide the engineering testimony. This is lot 2.03, block 18, Millstone Township. We're here for final site plan application. It is located on a 14.93 parcel in the planned commercial development zone on Farrington Boulevard in the southeast corner of Riverside Center Commercial Development. The property received preliminary site plan approval in early 2019. We believe we have addressed all of the comments from professionals' review letters and as summarized in Exhibit A8, except for a couple of items as follows. There are no changes to the configuration of the site, excepting as I described. We had proposed a water tank in the past, however, that has been removed because the project owner is developing a community or regional fire suppression system for the Millstone portion of Riverside Center. The architectural plans have been finalized, which will be described by Mr. Rick Perez. The enhanced landscaping and berming will be described by Rick Weiner, landscape architect. The other item that was a little bit not completely resolved was fire access. On this plan, we propose two fire access points, and maybe we can look at exhibit, A3, the grading utility plan.
Mr. Morris, Licata,
Can you repeat that real quick for me? Sorry.
Lorelei, before we continue, hold on 1 second. Mr. Licata, we missed a step, but that's okay. We're doing our best here. I just wanted to confirm that Lorelei has testified before the board in the past and has been qualified as an expert in the area of planning and engineering, and we continue to accept those credentials.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
thank you. I apologize.
Mr. Morris, that's A3.
A3 is one that has a couple. Is there a specific?
Yes. The grading plan.
The.
I think it's sheet 3.
Sheet 3. All right.
Or 4.
Well, I mean, I can.
Right. I can describe it for you if you. Hopefully, you have plans before you. There is an emergency access drive that comes off of the parking lot near the truck turnaround to access the northeast corner of the building, and it will be constructed of grass pavers. It will be wide enough to accommodate the Millstone Township ladder truck with its rigs out, which is at least 22 feet, so we'll make sure it's wide enough for that. The other problem was going around along the side where Farrington Boulevard curves around. There's a lot of landscaping proposed there, as well as some septic system components. So what we proposed was so it's going to be not that sheet.
Not this one. Is it?
Right.
Not that one either?
Could be the, no. This details. You could, it's another 22 foot wide access drive coming off of Farrington Boulevard near the southeast corner. And I had conversations with Matthew Wagner recently, and we went over this via Zoom, and he was agreeable to this as providing adequate access to the site as long as it can support a fire truck and it's wide enough for the outriggers. With regard to parking, loading, building size, building configuration, building height, these are all unchanged. With regard to approvals, Middlesex County Planning Board approval was, I'm sorry, Monmouth County Planning Board was received. They approved the plan as we submitted for preliminary, and this approval is no different. I just described the process with Millstone Township Fire Department. There is a treatment works approval that has been submitted for the septic system. It's been deemed complete, and the 90-day review period started at the end of April. Soil Conservation District certification was approved for the prior site plan known as Ideal Tile. This is very similar. We will resubmit to reconfirm that certification. And that's really the entire engineering testimony for this project. And now you can see the two access points, which are the dark rectangles, one on the north side pointing to the northeast corner, and one on the south side near the southeast corner.
Lorelei, you mentioned that you had a conversation with the fire department and they were okay with this. I trust that as a condition of any approval, you'll provide written confirmation of that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Matt, does that sound satisfactory?
It does. It's actually on my list of conditions of approval, so that's already on my list.
Okay. Does that conclude the engineering testimony?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman, unless there are other questions for Lorelei in that capacity.
Well, while there might be other questions, Matt, I wanted to turn it over to you. We have your letter report, and just wanted you to go through it to let us know if there's anything open or confirm that they've addressed the prior comments from the preliminary approval, please.
Matt, would you raise your right hand to be sworn? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. I went through my report from previous preliminary approval, and they have met all my comments, and anything that's remaining is listed on my conditions of approval.
Okay, thank you. And McKinley, you also issued a letter report. I know we have some more testimony to go, but I just want to make sure that you were satisfied with the engineering testimony and if there was anything that you wanted to bring to our attention before we move to the other witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, all of my comments regarding engineering have been addressed. There are some ones for architecture, but I think we're going to get there. So.
Okay. All right. Unless there's any other questions, Mr. Licata, I'll let you call your next witness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I would ask Rick Perez to be sworn in.
Sir, would you raise your right hand and be sworn? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your name and address.
My name is Ricardo Perez. My address is 146 Oak Creek Road, East Windsor, New Jersey.
Thank you. Mr. Perez, could you review your credentials for the board, please?
Yes, I'm managing partner of Perez Radosti Architects. I've been a New Jersey registered architect since 1992. I have my bachelor's of architecture from NJIT, 38 years of experience in the architectural field. I'm licensed in multiple states and have presented over 50 boards throughout the state of New Jersey, and I'm licensed in many other states as well.
Okay, thank you. We'll accept Mr. Perez with his credentials as a New Jersey architect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Perez, could you list for the board what you reviewed tonight in preparation for your hearing and then give the board an overview of the architectural design that's been submitted?
Okay. I've reviewed all the drawings that have been submitted, the floor plans, the elevations, the matted or the colored presentation drawings as well. I will ask for the exhibit A5, which is the floor plan, A1, sheet A1 of the building. And we can start with that drawing if that pleases the board. A5 is basically Mr. Witt's floor plan for the warehouse. Okay, we'll wait to see A5.
Is it this one?
A1, I'm sorry. Yes, that's the one. Flip that around, please. And I can't.
It's not going to.
No. Okay. Oops.
Yeah, I just need to see if I can figure out a different way to get this to flip.
I mean, if you want to share screens, I can put the drawings up and go through them.
I have it now.
You have it? Okay.
Yep. That software I had does not like to flip things too easily.
No worries. Okay, here we go. Very good. This is the footprint of the overall floor plan. You can see at the northeast corner, and there's the offices, which is the main entrance to the office space, which is it's going to be 2,500 square feet. The rest of the space is warehouse space. The warehouse total has stayed the same as previously stated. It's a square footage is 100,240 total. You can see the loading docks to the north side of the building. The building itself will be tilt slab concrete walls. It will have a slab on grade construction with painted tilt up concrete walls, membrane roofing, and insulated exterior windows and doors. There's going to be multiple entrances. There's about 8 loading dock doors and one ramp to drive vehicles into the building. A couple of small rooms for electrical and fire space. And if we can move to A2, which is the elevations for Mr. Wick, unless there's any questions on this plan.
I said one question.
Yes, yes.
Looking at this, which is the bottom of this sheet Route 33? In other words, the view?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so the loading docks are not going to be visible from the highway.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. They're on the back, what would be the back of the building.
Okay, and just keep highlighting for us where that is when you go to the next perspectives.
Okay, absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
A5, exhibit A5, please, the elevations. That's page A2.
Okay.
These are the architectural elevations as submitted. They now denote the colors that were selected, and we'll talk about those colors on the colored renderings. But you can see we've offset the height of the building with some darker colors, painted colors to blend in with, and all the colors will be multiple earth tone paint colors, which have been selected to blend in with the extensive landscaping that's been proposed, and we'll be showing you some of that in a bit. But the buildings themselves are, and we'll come back to the elevations and the colored versions because there's just more to see here. This is the building sans landscaping and color, and we'll move on to the next one. You can see on the south elevation, which is the part facing the road, and that's what you will see from the street, and you'll see the difference with the landscaping, the actual view from the street. When we get to the colored matted elevations. East elevation, north elevation, that's technically the back of the building. There you see the loading docks as well as the ramp door, which is slightly larger. And to the right of the north elevation, you see the main entrance to the office space, the doors and the windows there, it's to the far right. And left side, you see the west elevation. Okay, if you'd be so kind to move over to exhibit A15, which is the partial site plan. And please interrupt me at any time with any questions you have as we go. Okay. Just a colored matte drawing of the overall landscape plan indicate that the renderings were based on. You can see the loading stripes in the back of the building, as well as the old Route 33 Farrington Boulevard Road there. No questions on this. This is the partial site plan. If we can move over to exhibit A13. Which is the floor plan, colored. I just need to point out to this, this is the colored floor plan, same as you saw before. There is one typo on here. The total building square footage is 100,240. This erroneously indicates office an additional office space of 3150. That's incorrect. The architectural drawings indicate 2,500 square foot of office space, and what was the breakdown? I don't have the total breakdown, but it was the total warehouse and office space is 100,240. That has not changed from the previously approved plans. This is just a typo. I wanted to call it out to the board's attention so that we can clarify that. Okay. If we could please move on to the exhibit A12, which are the colored elevations. Okay. You can see this is the building's now colored, still sans landscaping. We'll get to those in the individual elevations. And here you can really see the earth tone colors, and the architects will be submitting with them the actual colors. They're nicer. They're nicer than what the copies that were submitted. And it's really difficult to see these colors, but they're basically all coming from the Sherman Williams Colonial Collection. They're all earth tone colors, and they've been selected basically to help blend the building in with the extensive landscape that's going to be added at the south elevation.
It's not going to resemble the warehousing that you have built next door in Monroe on that property, because I'm going to tell you, that is some really unsightly looking buildings.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, I would really, they're horrific looking. And I'm really just kind of appalled that it's even connected to Millstone. So at least I'm happy that you have some color in here, and I'm glad that you have some landscaping.
I appreciate your comments. I'm not exactly sure which buildings you're speaking of, but I will certainly take
my phone, but I won't share them.
Okay. But nonetheless, I'll finish the presentation. I'll try to address whatever concerns you may have on the building. So you can see the colored elevations, the muted colors. We have a the colors selected as denoted on the architectural drawings. There is a dark green bands, and those are the vertical bands, and these are tilt slab construction panels, so they'll basically just be made slightly taller, and that'll help with the scale of the overall elevation, breaking down the mass of the building, and that's the purpose for the colored panels and the slight elevation. So we feel that the vertical offsets are accomplished by the dark color panels with elevated parapet heights, which provide horizontal offsets along with colored banding. And the colors
Are the dark squares in the top third of the building actual windows?
Yes. Those will be actual windows to provide some natural light into the warehouse spacing.
Okay.
If there are no other questions on this elevation here, I'd like to move on to Exhibit A10, which is the west elevation. Okay. This would be the view from Farrington Boulevard near the entrance area. This will be basically right before the curve or after, depending on your direction. And you can see the landscaping has been implemented into this rendering with the building in the background, showing mature trees on the street side. And we can move on, and you can see how the building is basically being covered quite well with landscape background and the scale. If we move on to our next, the east elevation, A11. This would be the road on Farrington on old Route 33. This would be the view of the east elevation, which is the blank elevation. It does not have the garage doors on it, but the landscaping there is going to be extensive, as you can see. Pretty much blocking out most of the view from this building, other than a few spots. And he's seen from the building between the landscaping, either in winter or in other weathers. You know, I think the colors in the building and the changes of color, heights, et cetera, will help complement and basically meld and melt together as one color to attempt to bring down the scale of the building. All facades have the same treatment. They will not change. If we can please move on to Exhibit A14, which is the north elevation. I will describe that one. Landscaping on the sides. North elevation is A14, yes.
Is there a south elevation?
There is. There is.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
That's okay. No problem. Actually, north elevation, obviously the loading dock areas, et cetera. You can see the same treatment in panels and colors brought around the back of the building. And it's utilitarian space back there. If we can move on to the south elevation, which I believe is A16.
So that is that's our view from Route 33.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Better.
Okay. Two questions. First, yes. Might be more engineering, but what is the distance from the edge of Route 33 to the building?
Can you answer that, Lorelei? I can give an educated guess, but I don't have the exact number.
If I could allow Ms. Totten to answer that question.
Of course.
It's 160 feet at its closest point, which is on the southwest corner.
Okay, thank you. Next, I appreciate that. Next question, in terms of the landscaping that we see, it obviously is drawn in rather mature. Are you suggesting that is the size that will be planted at the start of the community, or will there be a different size?
I would defer that question to to Rick Wiener when he does the landscape presentation. He can answer that question if I could.
Okay, so Mr. Wiener, let me just preview for you. That's one question. The second question will be a phasing in of the landscaping, and my preference is right at the beginning so that it has every chance to mature as quickly as possible. But we'll go back to your architect for the moment.
I have a couple more little things to add here, and then we can take any other additional questions. But the building will all facades, as you notice, have the same treatment throughout on all four sides. The building will meet and exceed all energy conservation codes that are currently in place. No signage is proposed on the building itself. There will be a monument site sign, and approvals will be sought out for those at a later time. The site sign, when it is designed and brought in for approvals, will match the building and materials, colors, and meet all zoning requirements and the intent of the zoning.
Okay, before you leave that, and I know this is not your topic, but you brought it up, so you get the question. Currently, there's a large, what appears to be wooden sign on the property, and whoever's the appropriate person on your team, Mr. Licata, I'm fine with it. Is that sign something in connection with this building?
I have spoken to the principal of the owner on that, and the answer is no. That sign is not connected to this building.
Okay, so Matt, this one's going to come your way. It would appear that that sign is advertising something in another town, and I don't recall that there was a use variance granted or that this is a billboard zone. So Matt, may I suggest that's something to look into, unless I'm just flat out wrong?
I'll be there tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Bring your zoning book if you need to write something up.
You got it. I don't remember seeing it, but I'll check it out.
Yeah, if you look for it, it's somewhat in your face. And Mr. Licata, I would also appreciate if, given that the sign would appear to me to be illegally on your property or your client's property, if you want to get ahead of Matt, that would be appreciated.
We will do so. The principal is aware, and we will be looking into that to ensure compliance.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? This is a flat roof, and is it going to be temperature controlled?
The building? Roof? The building itself?
Yes.
The office spaces will be temperature controlled.
But not the warehouse?
Not the warehouse. Not to my knowledge, no. The warehouses will not be temperature controlled.
So you're not putting any HVAC systems on the roof or anything like that?
We're not expecting to, know, other than for the office space.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for the architect? Okay. Mr. Licata, your next witness.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I couldn't get to my mute button fast enough. I just have one question. I first do just want to say that the colors are consistent with the township's ordinance. The ordinance requires earth-toned colors, and it's my opinion that that's what they have provided here. My question comes down to, and part of it is my lack of memory, did you guys receive a variance previously, when you were here last year, for the flat roof and for the greater than 25 feet of unbroken parapet at the roof height?
Lorelei, could you field that question for us?
The roof does have a pitch to it. It's got a peak in the middle, so it's not flat. I don't know if it meets the, I think it's 5-12 slope.
The roof slope is a lot less than that. The roof slope would be about 1/4 inch per foot at most.
So essentially it is flat, but it does have a peak to it. So
it peaks in the middle and it slopes on both directions.
The short answer is, at preliminary approval, the architecture was not approved, and it was brought to this meeting to approve the architecture. So there was no, is it a variance or waiver for the architectural, isn't it a waiver?
I believe it's a waiver and not a variance, I think. By reading the guidelines, it actually says right up front that waivers could be requested.
Yeah, so this is.
From the architectural requirements, I mean.
Yeah, so this is just for the board, so you guys are, this is ordinance section 4, or chapter 35, section 4-16 is all of the architectural standards. I believe, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the past we've required variances from this section.
I don't remember this coming up, to be honest with you. Can't recall this coming up anywhere.
I don't remember it coming up, and I have a good memory.
The height variance was granted, I believe, but
yes,
that's correct.
Right.
Well, it's because it's just in, it's non-conformance with the roofs are supposed to be pitched for commercial structures. So I think the roof pitch minimum is 5 on 12, and it's been testified that we're less than that. So it is not in conformance with that. Whether it's a waiver or a variance, my understanding is this board's always asked for variances from this section, but somebody correct me if I'm misremembering that.
Mr. Stein, if I could just weigh in with a point of information that might be helpful. I understand that section 416.1 provides in sections D and E that waivers from the guidelines and standards set forth in that chapter can be issued by both the planning board and the construction official. Certainly the construction official would not have the jurisdiction or power to grant variances. C variances, for instance, but could grant design.
And just as a matter of physicality, a 5 on 12 pitch would make this building about twice as high as it is currently. It's just not practical in a warehouse setting. I think that ordinance was really meant for much smaller buildings.
It was. I absolutely agree with you. It just doesn't. It just happens to not differentiate between warehouses and retail
commercial buildings. It doesn't. It doesn't. But can you imagine putting a 5 on 12 pitch on this building would make it double in size.
I would agree. It would be inappropriate. Yeah.
It would be completely inappropriate for this type of use. And that was the reason. And that's one of the reasons why we went through the changing the heights of the panels, the colors, and so forth to try to break the scale down of, you know, what's a warehouse building. It is what it is. It's a warehouse building. The utilitarian building.
Mr. Perez, at the pitch that you've proposed, is there any negative? Is there a problem? Does it diminish the utility of the building or the ability of the building to shed stormwater?
No. The roof is technically not, it's considered a flat roof, but it's really not. It does have a pitch to it. It's just very gentle. All the roof water will be drained to the edges and collected in roof scuppers and piped away.
Okay, Mike. Is any concern with regard to the applicant seeking the waiver at this time in the application process?
No, the notice included the all-inclusive language. Any and all other variances and waivers may be deemed necessary.
Okay, so Mr. Licata, it's your position that I don't want to speak. I'm just suggesting that I just want to be clear that as another element of your application, you'd be seeking the waiver as our planner had suggested and your architect has talked about.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right.
That's all for me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Anything else, Mr. Perez?
That concludes my presentation, unless there's any additional questions I can answer.
Okay. Mike, just give me one moment for a second. Mike, just point of order. We'll be opening this up for public comment. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I just want to let any members of the public that are listening in know that when the applicant's professionals have concluded their testimony, we will come back and open it up to the public so they have a chance to ask any questions or pose any comments. Okay, thank you, Steve. Okay. Anything else from anyone on the board before Mr. Licata moves to his next witness?
Just got a question as a matter of precedence. Since we're going to be having a lot of these buildings in the township over the next few years, do we need to amend the architectural things that McKinley just pointed out as part of the master? Because everybody's going to be requesting a variance or a waiver.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mr. Zeiner. If given the amount of anticipated warehousing that the township is probably going to be seeing, these architectural standards, as I said, are really geared towards the smaller commercial retail that we're seeing and not these larger warehousing. So I would be in favor of either adding to these or clarifying what these are really intended to be used for.
So McKinley, can you work with the governing body and determine if an ordinance revision is appropriate?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, McKinley.
Can I ask a question? If we do make those amendments, will they apply to the smaller buildings too? Or do we keep that as just a minimum size type of thing?
When you say the smaller buildings, you mean the ones that might have like a restaurant or a Dunkin' Donuts or something in there?
Yeah, where they may come back and say, I'd rather have a lower pitch than what is required today.
Well, my recommendation would be to clarify them so that there are different standards specifically for warehouses, so that those retail centers would still have to abide by these standards. But it's I mean, that's just, it's open to discussion. That's just, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think in general, we need a definition of what a warehouse is in the town, whether it's square footage, size, height, elevation, or whatever. Yeah. And thereby, you could then create architectural standards based on that definition.
I agree. I think when these standards and the definitions were written, there really wasn't, we weren't seeing the level of warehouses that we are now. So there's, I absolutely agree with Jeff. There's a few big missing components in the ordinance that I'll talk to the council and see if we can work something out and get it back to the planning board.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Licata, your next witness, please.
Thank you. I'd like to call Rick Wiener, who is a licensed landscape architect.
Mr. Wiener, raise your right hand. Warren, you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. We're working on unmuting him.
Okay.
You do that.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Turn it on.
I do.
Rick, could you review your qualifications for the board?
Yes, I'm a New Jersey licensed landscape architect. I've been employed at Crest Engineering for over 35 years, and I have made presentation before this board in the past and been accepted as an expert in landscape architecture.
Okay, thank you. We'll continue to accept your credentials in landscape architecture.
Thank you, Rick. Did you design the landscape plan that's been submitted as part of this application?
I did.
Thank you. Could you walk the board through the elements that you used to create it?
Okay. I think even though there's a landscape plan in the set, I think the Exhibit A15 is probably a lot nicer to look at than a black and white. Yeah. So that's the landscape plan.
A15?
Yeah, that's the colored version, essentially, of the landscape plan, right? There you go. That's probably a lot nicer looking. Okay. So as you all probably know, the site existing is essentially clear, except for the forest area in the back of the site, which we're not disturbing at any point. The street trees that you see on the plan and the buffer between the building and the residences to the east were approved as part of the major subdivision application. So they're already part of the approval. The residential dwellings are separated not only by landscaping, but there's a berm on that side of the building. The other thing we've done is the grading in front of the building, where you see the proposed landscaping, we've added berming. That's 3 or 4 feet above the first floor elevation. We've put in various size evergreens, shade trees, and ornamental trees to sort of adapt a filtered view, not necessarily hide the building, so it can blend in with the landscaping. The left side of the building, the west side of the building, you can see the shade trees and more foundation planting type plants associated with the office use and the parking areas that go with that. The question that came up earlier about the size of the trees, the shade trees are your 3-inch caliper. They'll be 12 to 15 feet, depending on the species, at time of planting. And remember, a lot of them are going to be planted on the berm, which is 3 to 4 feet above grade. You should also note that the elevations, the renderings that you saw, show a person sitting in a car. And as I understand, as the elevation was done, you're sitting in a car. So the trees probably look higher than they will be, and they won't be that high at the time of planting. You're probably looking at something 5 or 6 years down the road. But remember, you're sitting in a car, your eye level is essentially 3.5 feet off the ground. So the trees are 14, 15 feet to start. So what you're really looking at is not a whole lot. And again, a filtered view through to the building. I should also point out that there's also existing landscaping that was installed and a berm along Route 33, which doesn't show on this plan, but there's already trees and a berm and some shrubs planted along that as well. So you have the benefit of the existing landscaping, the proposed landscaping, and additionally, there's existing landscaping or existing trees along the left side of the existing residential dwellings to the right. That is pretty substantial. So essentially, that was the plan. These trees typically will grow 8 to 12 inches a year. So 5 or 6 years down the road, it'll be a pretty substantial landscape plan. And that's all I have.
Just a couple of questions before I turn it over to our professionals and the other board members. Will there be an irrigation system to facilitate the landscaping growth?
I would recommend that, yes.
Okay, so that then I appreciate you recommending it, but in my opinion, you're recommending it to the board, so the board would be happy to make it as a condition of any approval. And then second, my concern was the timing of the installation of the landscaping so that we can maximize its growth opportunity before the building is completed. And can you talk to the timing of the installation of the landscaping?
Typically, you want it's going to depend on the time of year, obviously, and what the stage of the building development is. We don't want to be planting trees in the middle of the summer, so hopefully the spring or the fall. Don't know what the timing is for the construction of this at this point.
I can come up with a condition, but is there someone else, Mr. Licata, on your team that wants to take a run at that question?
Yes, I think Lorelei could explain the connection between the site work, the construction of the tilt-up sides of the building, and the site being ready for plantings.
Hello. Okay, so this is tilt-up, and the panels are 20, 25 feet high, so they need that room to put them up. In the front yard, in the empty space, there's trees along the building and street trees. There's a septic system in between. And there's also a roof drain collection system that's located along the foundation to collect the roof runoff and take it over to dry wells that are located in the apparently empty space by the parking. So all those utilities have to be in place and the sides have to be tilted up and in place before landscaping can be installed. So it would have to be worked out with the construction schedule for those items.
Okay, and I appreciate that. I understand that there's logistics involved and my wanting them planted early doesn't necessarily work. So at the moment, unless a board member would disagree, I would suggest, Matt, that as a condition of approval, that the applicant submit a landscape phasing schedule to you and McKinley for your review and approval, with a view towards keeping it as close to the earliest moment of installation as you can.
We would have no objection to that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Matt McKinley, does that sound like something you can work with?
Yeah, that works for me.
I have it on my list.
All right. Thank you. Any other board members have any questions for the landscape architect?
I have just a quick question, Mr. Chairman. Can we confirm if any of the proposed plantings are going to be deer food, basically, and if they do happen to be eaten, is there a planting replacement plan?
Well, they would have to be replaced if they were destroyed completely. And you're always going to get, no matter what you do, you're always going to get deer. They're hungry. They're going to eat what they find. But it's a variety of species, and the shade trees are typically not a part of that. And the evergreens, some of them maybe nibbling for the deers, but if they're destroyed to that point, and usually it's just a couple of feet, the lower feet of the evergreen that gets munched away, then they should be replaced.
I guess along those lines, we'd like some assurances that if stuff dies, it's going to be replaced as well.
Yeah, there's guarantees required.
Thank you.
It's part of, yeah, it's in the landscape notes.
I guess the real question is, are they evergreens and trees, or are they like arborvitaes and shrubs?
No, they're evergreens and trees. These are shade trees and evergreen trees that are going to get 30, 40, 50 feet tall over time.
Okay. Deer usually don't bother those kinds of trees.
Right.
Okay.
I have a question about the two properties that are on the east side, the two homes. I see there is a good substantial amount of trees that were being put there next to the properties. Is there, first of all, is that a berm there, or is it just at the same elevation?
Yeah, no, there's a berm there. That was put in and approved as part of the major subdivision when this lot was created. There's okay. actually a landscape easement there that contains these plants. And as I noted before, there's actually, on the residential lot, there's a row of trees along that property line, which, again, doesn't show on here. So that's just in combination with that. And you saw before the east elevation, which was the view from the residential lots towards the building.
Yeah, and how's the drainage there? Has that been addressed?
Yeah, so the drainage works essentially along the building towards the back at that point.
So there is not going to be any drainage going towards the lots next
door? Oh, no. The berm is the high point, and it drains towards the building, and essentially there's a narrow channel along the side of the right side of the building that drains towards the back of the property.
Okay.
That's shown on the grading plan.
Anything else for Mr. Wiener before we ask Mr. Licata to call his next witness? Okay, go ahead, Mr. Licata, please.
Thank you. I would call Lorelei back to address the board in her capacity as a professional planner.
With regard to the waivers requested for the architecture, we believe that meeting the roof requirements is not practical. I hear an echo, so I'm sorry if I'm speaking slowly. Also, the difference, the length in between the differences in the parapet height is a waiver as well. It's 25 feet. On a building this large, it would look like teeth, so it's not appropriate. That 25 foot, every change every 25 feet would not be appropriate for a building this size. I believe that the color scheme and the vertical dark green with the light sand and the sage colored stripes across it, along with the windows and the doors and the parapet, the way it is broken up, along with the landscaping, provide a visual environment, and it's a creative way to meet the intent of your ordinance, which is to not have a long blank wall of some color that stands out and doesn't blend in. So for all of those reasons, I believe that the board could grant the waivers to the architectural requirements for this particular site and this particular building.
Okay,
thank you, Lorelei. And are we presenting or requesting any new variance relief that wasn't previously granted?
No, we are not.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would open up Lorelei to questions of the professionals and board members.
Okay. Matt or McKinley, any questions of any of the witnesses, including Ms. Totten's last planning testimony?
Nothing from me. Everything looks fine and landscaping looks good. I think the building has good colors, so nothing from me.
Yeah, me neither. I would have to agree with Lorelei's testimony. I think, as we discussed previously, if they were to meet those roof requirements, the building would quite frankly look ridiculous, and I don't think you want that tall of a roof on such a large building. So I don't have any problems with the waivers, and everything else looks good from my end. The colors, the plantings, I'm okay with everything.
Okay, and Matt, one thing, just make sure when the performance guarantees and maintenance guarantees come in that they follow up with Chris's concern and I think Jeff's concern that they're part of those guarantees so we're protected.
Well, actually, we have an ordinance. Even after the guarantee, they have to maintain this forever. So there is an ordinance in our books.
Hey, Chris, is forever acceptable to you?
After I finally get to my own movement, I think I can accept forever.
Okay. See, he's not such a pain in the neck. That's what I've been telling you guys. All right. Thank you. So, Mr. Licata, does that conclude your affirmative presentation?
Yes, it does, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So unless there's anything else from the board, I believe it'd be appropriate now to open it up to questions or comments from the public. Pam or Mr. Morris, I would look for your assistance in how we can do that.
Okay, we can take this off the screen. I think we take the evidence off. And then we could just open it up to the public. Anyone, I do not have any other person that is in the waiting room at this moment.
Well, we see a bunch of phone numbers. We know one of them is Tom and one of them is
Michael. And one seems to be Mrs. Butch. And I'm not sure who Danielle Oswald is. So that is the only person that I am not familiar with. So I don't know.
Okay, so I will
open it up right now.
Is there anyone who's a member of the public that would like to approach the board? Please somehow identify yourself verbally or otherwise.
Or maybe what they could do is come in through the chat that they want to say something.
I'm unmuting.
Okay, I don't see any chats up. Right? No one else sees a chat?
No,
I do not.
All right. And earlier in the meeting, I said that we were deferring the public comment portion. We just weren't prepared for it at the moment. So I will also more globally open this up to any public comment, even if it's not on this application, while we're right here. And I continue to see no chat or no one raising their hand or otherwise identifying themselves. So, Mike, are you comfortable that I am okay to close the public comment portion?
You are.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll officially close the public comment and question portion and turn it back to either our professionals or board members for any additional comments or any summation by the applicant. Seeing no other comments or questions, Mr. Licata, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We appreciate the board's time tonight. We have, attempted to employ the best use of the architectural control recommendations and address the outstanding conditions of our preliminary approval in crafting this amendment to the preliminary design. And we submit it based on the testimony you've heard tonight for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. Unless there's any other questions, Mike, at this time I would call for a motion, but I'd appreciate it if you could highlight the conditions that we talked about during the consideration process so that the motion could include those items.
Yes, the applicant is going to provide confirmation of the various outside approvals, county planning board, fire department, freehold soil, etc. And they also are going to comply with the conditions in Mr. Shafai's report of June 3, 2020, which are new conditions. They also are going to provide irrigation system for the landscaping and submit a landscape staging schedule to the planning board engineer and planner for review and approval.
Okay, and confirming, that's my son calling, but anyway, and confirming that the applicants also requesting the waiver that would any proposed motion would be to approve the application as submitted, including the waiver that was discussed tonight as to the roof pitch.
Correct.
Right. Okay. All All right. So at this moment, I'd like to open it up to the board, unless there's any other questions, if someone would like to consider that motion for the final approval.
I'll move it.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second? Okay, I'll proceed and go ahead with the second. Any other comments? Seeing none, Pam, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Mr. Zeiner.
Yes.
Chairman Newman.
Yes.
Mr. Beck.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Grabalia.
Yes.
Ms. Oxley.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Pepe.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Thank you all.
Pam, looking at our agenda, I don't see anything listed under old business or new business. Is there anything you want to bring to our attention?
Well, sorry about the glitches for tonight. Gosh, we had it so worked out last night. I thought I was just really on it. I apologize for that. But it's not Mr. Morris's fault. It's definitely mine. But so for next month in July, I do have two applications that will be on. One is a minor subdivision and one is a preliminary and final major site plan. So I'll be sending everything out. We'll do it the same way. We're just going to put everything online. I did send out a little packet today in the mail to you for just the minor sub, but I'm going to do it the same way. We're going to have the same link for this, and I'll do the invitation, and everything will be online, and then you'll get the list so that we can bring it up.
Okay, and I'll call you separately another day, Pam, because I was just wondering, is there a way that the applicant can take more control of the exhibits so that they can use their cursor or some other device to highlight things for us? So we're not controlling their presentation as much, but that's for another day.
So, no, I have absolutely no idea.
Yes. So the viewing that you were seeing, I was basically going through the website. So as long as it's on the website, then they could click their own links and they could share it the way I was just sharing it to the board.
Okay. They did receive everything just that way. So.
Okay, and
they should be able to control their own application.
And you can feel free to let the applicant know that that's the expectation that we will have of them.
As long as you let them share the screen, they can put whatever they want up there.
Right.
Okay. Okay, seeing no other business, just reconfirm that date, July.
Hang on.
That was a softball, Pam.
Before we end, I have a question. We have a vacancy on the Environmental Commission. Is anyone interested in filling that vacancy? I have one person who's interested or expressed interest, which was Stacy. Is there anyone else?
I would like to express interest.
Okay. Anybody else?
What day of the month do they usually meet?
Pam, do you know? I think it's on a Monday.
It is a Monday. It might be the historic used to be a Tuesday. The second Monday, is it, Matt?
Second Monday.
That I'm not sure. I'll have to send that to you. Yeah. I'll look right
second,
now to see.
Second Monday.
Second Monday. And our meeting in July is July 8th.
Thank you.
I'd be interested to answer.
Okay. All right. I'll put the names in and we'll see what we come up with.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. July 8th, we will be Zooming again, even though the governor said you could have 50 people or so. I'm not ready for that. So we will do it this way.
Our courtroom holds 80 people sitting, 10 standing. So, I mean, if you had 20, that would just be our board and professionals and myself and Angela.
The challenge is the dais. How do you maintain social distancing on the dais?
Some will have to sit at the top and some would have to sit at the bottom. But it would be, like anything, it's a challenge and it has to be reorganized. Nothing's smooth and easy.
Yeah, for the moment, if I'm not allowed to go to a restaurant, I'm not sure that we're going to have an in-person meeting. that's my line in the sand.
Is that it right there? Okay.
Yeah, sorry. That's how I roll.
Okay.
You can do an outdoor meeting. You can do in the parking lot. We have a meeting in the parking parking lot.
Right, Matt, I didn't call on you, so you should mute yourself right now.
Honestly, I don't know why there was such a problem in getting in here. I've never had a meeting where we've had as many problems getting into a Zoom meeting. Honestly.
I don't know. But, you know, Mary and I practiced last night for half an hour. And she got it. I had all the information. And then I got her on at 7 to have her start. And it just never happened until 7:30.
Well, it wasn't just Mary. It was just a lot of people had a hard time getting in.
Yeah, I don't know. That the number that I gave everybody, that was our Zoom number.
And that's it. I don't understand this.
I don't know.
It's not right.
All right. See what you can do, Pam, and with any assistance. Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second
that. Can I ask a question first? I'm sorry. We sent out a memorandum from Mike. Are we basically just reading it ourselves and not discussing it at all?
Remind me the memorandum.
It's the Assembly Bill 3919, Land Use Board.
Still waiting for it to get signed.
Okay.
Not law yet.
Okay, so it's not ready to be talked about.
No, it's not ready for prime time.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Set it aside.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say, get me off
Bye.
Of the Zoom.
Bye.
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 Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Pam, for your hard work.
Yeah, good night, okay. Good night.
Good night.
How do I
good night, everyone.
Get out? Hey, how do I get out?
Just get out.